Lord, we come before you this morning to hear from you. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak be used by you to touch each and every one of our hearts this morning about the importance of corporate prayer within our congregation. We know, Lord, that prayer changes things, but prayer is also a mystery. Lord, all we have to do is obedient to your call to pray together, and to pray often. Help us, Lord, to see this for ourselves and to make a commitment in our lives to make prayer the priority around here. Ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Second Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, began in 1927. In a city the size of Houston, it was expected that it would become a huge congregation. But by the time that Ed Young went there to be pastor in 1978, it was evident that they hadn't experienced the growth that they hoped for. It wasn't even close. But things changed. How? All by the power of corporate prayer. Today, the Second Baptist Church of Houston is one of the largest churches in the United States. It coordinates over 1,000 volunteers in uninterrupted 24-hour prayer. The average weekly attendance has shot up to 24,000 men, women, and children, and has an annual budget of $55 million. In 1980, the Korean Myeonsong Presbyterian Church, yes, Presbyterian, was established to be a small, quiet voice within their community. But things changed. How? All by the power of corporate prayer. In his book, Churches That Pray, Peter Wagner reports that early morning prayer at the Korean Myeonsong Presbyterian Church begins at 4 a.m. And the prayer meeting is usually packed to capacity with 4,000 believers. With the 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. services, a total of 12,000 people show up every morning to call upon the Lord. It's the largest congregation in the world, with an average attendance of 100,000 people attending 7 services on a Sunday. And did I mention they're Presbyterian? In 1847, 12 years before the Lord established this congregation of St. Paul's, the Brooklyn Tabernacle was planted to serve the Lord in their community. It had some success in their early years, but by 1971, when Jim and Carol Cimbala went there to serve, things were not good at all. The congregation had no money. The building was falling apart, even to the point that the pews would sometimes break when people sat on them. And attendance was so low that they thought it was just better to close the doors. As Jim described it, more people were turning to crack than to Christ. Before long, seeing few victories and feeling personally defeated, the discouraged pastor decided that he needed to quit. But things changed. How? All by the power of corporate prayer. It was during that dark period that Jim received a distinct and unexpected call from God to lead the people to pray. The next time that he was before the church in the pulpit, he told them about his call from the Lord to focus on prayer, just like I did with you 4 years ago. The following Tuesday night, about a dozen members joined the pastor for prayer. They joined hands, stood in a circle, and prayed together. 5 minutes later, they were finished. They obviously weren't sure yet how to conduct a prayer meeting, but at least they had taken the first steps. Over the next few years, Brooklyn Tabernacle would become known around the country and even around the world as a praying church. Today, about 10,000 people every Sunday wait in line to attend the Brooklyn Tabernacle. The attendance is a miracle, but it doesn't end there. Carol Cimbala has led the choir since arriving at Brooklyn Tabernacle. Her original choir consisted of 9 people. And in spite of not reading music, Carol has received 5 Dove Awards, 6 Grammy Awards, and has written hundreds of songs for the now 270-voice choir and for their 28 albums. How has all this occurred? Jim Cimbala traces it all back to that call from the Lord so long ago to build a praying church and to make the prayer, the weekly prayer meeting, the most important service of the week. He calls the prayer meeting the barometer of the church. And I have always done the same. I can always tell how healthy and hungry for the Lord this congregation is by how many come to our prayer meetings. The Tabernacle's prayer meetings didn't start big, but it grew. The first Tuesday night that had only a few praying members is now a team of over 3,000 people every week who crowd into the church to call upon the Lord. The prayer meeting officially begins at 7 p.m., but people start pouring in at 5 p.m. Why? So that they can pray for the prayer meeting. The weekly prayer meeting, not the Sunday worship, became the focal point of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Jim's belief that God can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him guides all of his work. He says it is prayer, not the preaching, that brings revival. I could go on and on telling of churches from 2,000 years ago to today that prayed together and became all that God wanted them to be because of the power of corporate prayer. I could also tell you of even more disaster stories of churches who didn't pray and became unhealthy and died. You would think that any church that truly wants to follow Jesus and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to do his work would pray, but that isn't the case. According to Pew Research, only 63% of Christians in North America say that prayer is essential. No wonder many churches and many Christians are struggling these days. But why, when we know, or at least should know, about the power of corporate prayer, is the prayer meeting, our prayer meetings, usually the loneliest event of the week? In many places, the typical attendance at a weekly prayer meetings is only a fraction of the church's total congregation. So what happened to prayer? What happened to the prayer meeting in so many churches today? The truth is that many churches, corporate prayer has lost its intensity. It has lost its meaning and its priority. Very often group prayer is confined to sharing requests for sick relatives and other needs, and it's totally unrelated to the whole body of Christ. In the first century church, however, group prayer was a central focus. Corporate prayer, as Jesus intended it, was a uniting, effective source of unique power for the believers. So why, I ask again, have the prayers of many churches today taken a wrong turn? Is it pride, selfish priorities, or just plain disobedience to what Jesus has commanded us to do? From the moment the apostolic believers were on their own after the ascension of Jesus, they assembled for prayer. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born, not out of organization or preaching, but out of prayer. Scripture says that they joined together constantly and devoted themselves to prayer. In the New Testament, prayer is spoken of more often than any other activity of the gathered church. They prayed over the choice of a new apostle and over the prison release of Peter and John. The apostles considered prayer to be their primary duty and confirmed its importance by appointing new elders with prayer. Paul and Barnabas were singled out as first missionaries during a prayer meeting. And they typically sought out places of prayer when arriving at a new city. The early church was visibly dependent upon prayer as the means of releasing the power of God. Their belief in the role of prayer was clear. If we do not pray together, God will not act. So what did these early believers know that we have so easily forgotten? What we have to understand is this. The early believers did not seek opportunities to pray together just out of convenience alone. They understood the truth that there existed a hope and a unique spiritual power in the prayers of the church that did not exist in the experiences of their private prayer life. That's why all of us who are here and all of us who aren't here need to refocus on the principle of making prayer a priority in our own congregation. Acts 2, verses 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread," which we've covered the last 2 weeks, "and to prayer." The truth is that a healthy church is a praying church. And probably nothing outside of God's word is more important or more powerful. Sadly, as I said before, it is often the most overlooked and underused spiritual discipline in many churches today. That is why there are so many unhealthy and dying churches in the world. It is also the reason that so many Christian leaders are struggling as well. They have forgotten that God's power will only come through prayer. When problems come upon churches, it is sometimes easier to get people together to attend business meetings than to attend prayer meetings. Even though the answer to their problems and the answers to overcome and the power to overcome the problems is to be found in corporate prayer alone. In fact, when a pastor of a healthy church calls for a business meeting, the leader should get to the point where they say, "Why do we need a business meeting? Let's have a prayer meeting, because that's where the real business happens." If we, as a church, long to see more of God's supernatural activity in our midst, if we are struggling to find vision for the next step that we should take, and when our church faces challenges that are threatening our future, which we are, then we need to recommit to making prayer the priority around here. Only this focus on the vital importance of prayer and the act of prayer itself will reconnect this church with the greatest resource that any church has at its disposal, the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is very simple. A church that does not pray together will not stay together. And a church that will not pray together will also get unhealthy and it will die. But a church that prays together becomes healthy and the Lord can grow that church. So when should churches pray? When should we come together to pray together? Is it just when there are problems that we just can't figure out all by ourselves? Absolutely not. We need to pray together pretty much all the time. The early church not only made prayer a priority, prayer was the priority. In fact, prayer is the very first thing that the disciples did after Jesus went back to heaven. Acts 1:14 describes them as being constantly in prayer together, as they waited for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised in Acts 1:8. The early church continued praying about every challenge an opportunity that they faced. When their enemies opposed them, they prayed. When they had a problem, they prayed. When they needed divine direction on what to do, they prayed. In the book of Acts, we see at least three situations where the early church made a commitment to pray together. And what is important to remember is this. They didn't begin and end a business meeting with prayer. Prayer was the business meeting because they meant business and in turn got answers from God. The early church prayed when they faced opposition. In our scripture reading this morning that Eric read for us, we saw how the religious people were not happy with the growing number of people who were listening to Peter and John as they taught about Jesus. They were jealous, they were suspicious, and even angry about what was happening. And so they warned Peter and John not to speak about Jesus anymore to anyone. Did they listen? Of course not. Peter and John refused despite their threats. And when Peter and John told the church what had happened, Their first response was to cry out to God in corporate prayer to receive more power to proclaim the truth of Jesus. So when our church faces opposition, which it will when we reach out with the love and the truth of Jesus, we need to remember to pray for boldness and to ask God to show us his miraculous power. The early church also prayed when they experienced big problems. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19? King Herod began arresting some of the key leaders in the early church. He killed James, and Peter was next on the list. And so instead of forming committees, hiring PR firms, or just running to the hills, the believers responded immediately in corporate prayer. We are told that they gathered together, not for a few minutes or even for a few hours, but we are told that they prayed together until God answered. The early church also prayed when they needed to follow God's leading. And I think we qualify for this one. In Acts 13, 1 to 3, God instructed the early church leaders in Antioch to set apart two men for leadership. But this, again, wasn't by committee. The church had to pray before they received this instruction, and they also prayed before they acted. Sometimes when we pray, we will get a clear sense of what God wants us to do next. Other times, not so much. But remember this. We must continue to pray all the way through every decision. Just as we pray to receive God's guidance, we need to continue to pray as we respond to what God says. That way, not only do we have the vision, but we also have the power to accomplish that vision. Throughout the New Testament, we learn two things from the example of these early believers. The ones who had been given the principles of a healthy church that God grew miraculously. We learn that a healthy church will seek God's will in unified corporate prayer. And a healthy church will make their decisions only after unified prayer. We will face opposition, and we will face problems in the future, as we have in the past. But you know what? That's actually a good thing, because it forces us to humble ourselves before the Lord in prayer. And I think that if we prayed more, we wouldn't see so many problems, but we would see many more victories. I'm going to tell you something this morning that you may not have thought about before. And that is that the Lord actually delights in exalting our inability. He intentionally puts his people in situations where they come face to face with their need for him. In the process, he powerfully demonstrates his ability to provide everything that his people needs in ways that they could never have mustered up or imagined. And in the end, we receive the victory and he receives the glory. But it takes us to come together to pray. In corporate prayer, instead of asserting ourselves, we crucify ourselves. Instead of imagining all the things that we can accomplish, we ask God to do what only he can accomplish. Yes, we work, we plan, we organize, and we create, but we do it all while we fast, while we pray, and while we constantly confess our need for the provision of God. Instead of a dependence upon ourselves, we express radical desperation for the power of his Spirit, and we trust that Jesus stands ready to give us everything that we ask, so that he might bring glory to the Father in this hurting and broken world through our congregation. What we have to remember when it comes to prayer is this: the power of the one who raised Jesus from the dead is living within us. As a result, we have no need to muster up our own strength and our own might. Our great need is just to fall before the Almighty day and night, and to plead for him to show his radical power in us and through us. enabling us to accomplish for His glory what you and I could never imagine or accomplish in our own strength. And when we do this, we will discover that we were created for a purpose much greater than ourselves, the kind of purpose that can only be accomplished in the power of His Spirit. That comes only through a constant dedication to corporate prayer. So what kind of prayers should we pray when we come together? First, there are requests. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Why should we make our requests known to God? After all, doesn't He know all the desires and the needs of our hearts anyway? Well, it is because prayer puts our problems into perspective. And it is through prayer that we know that God can handle it. Prayer humbles us and it exalts God so that He can move in our midst. And prayer makes us very much aware that we are completely dependent upon Him. Second, there is praise. And this one is very, very powerful. Psalm 145, 1-2 says, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." Do you know that praising God should be our automatic response in any circumstance, even in very difficult situations? The psalmist didn't say, "I will praise your name every day when things go well and all my needs are met." It doesn't give that stipulation. It says, "I will praise your name forever and ever." Now, I know this goes against our human nature. And some of you may be thinking, how on earth can we praise God when something terrible is going on? And my answer is, how can you not? Praising God, especially in the hard times, builds up our faith. It keeps our eyes upon our Savior and opens a channel through which He can provide His sustaining power and exchange our sorrow for His joy. That's why we need to praise the Lord with all of our hearts in both the sunshine and the rain. The third method of prayer is intercession. And this one is very important when we come together to pray as a church. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Do you know that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are called to be intercessors? People who stand between God and other people, and between our congregation and God, and lift things up to Him in prayer? When we pray as intercessors on behalf of others, we should pray for blessing, for the ability to learn and listen to God's will, for strength against temptation, for wisdom, to have pure thoughts, for peace, for the willingness to obey God, for courage, for the power and the strength to be faithful, to have contentment, and to experience joy. The fourth kind of prayer is thanksgiving. Praise is all about God and who He is. Thanksgiving is about what the Lord has done and will do. Psalm 95:2 tells us, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." As we come together to pray together, we should be sharing the blessings for which we are thankful. We can start prayer journals and write in them every day two or three things for which we are thankful. If we did that, we would have lots of testimonies to share on our Sunday morning service. When it comes to praying prayers of thankfulness to the Lord, we really need to make it a practice of being grateful for all the little things and the big things in our lives. And we need to be ready and courageous enough to share that in prayer time and in our time of testimony. The fifth type of prayer that the New Testament mentions are prayers for those who are in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1-3 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. In our prayer meetings, we need to set aside the time to pray for government leaders and those in authority to seek God's will. We all know they need it, especially these days. And we need to do this even if we agree with them or not. 6, the Bible tells us that there is also praying in the Spirit. Now, this isn't talked about often in Presbyterian circles, but it's very, very biblical. And those who went to the conference on growing the church in the power of the Holy Spirit will understand what it's all about. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. When we pray in the Spirit, we are praying from our spirit. And we are praying by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, those things that God would have us pray about. Romans 8:26 explains it this way. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. These are all ways in which we can pray to the Lord together. And prayer meetings will incorporate all of these methods at various times. But the problem that I have here this morning is that I can't come up with enough powerful words or enough persuasive words to encourage all of you to become part of a community of prayer in this congregation. I can only pray that the Lord has used these words this morning to impress the importance of corporate prayer upon your hearts. Prayer is so powerful that we should be doing it all the time. And we should get to the point around here that we are praying together in some way every day. There are churches, even within our own city, who are growing and growing miraculously. They are healthy. And one of the primary reasons is because they pray on a daily basis. The old way of doing things really has to end. We need to get back to the beginning, back to the basics of our Christian faith. We need to focus on prayer as the early church did. We need to dedicate ourselves to doing what every successful church over the past 2,000 years has done. We need to pray, and pray often, together. It isn't a suggestion. It's not something I made up. It's a command from God Himself. So if you this morning are serious about getting serious, let's make prayer a priority. And let us come up with some Spirit-led ideas for praying together. Here's a few that the elders might want to consider before we go to the retreat in September. How about we provide prayer cards for people to write down their requests and submit them for prayer? How about leading this church in one 24-hour period of corporate prayer? How about aiming to have prayer in our congregation on a daily basis? How about hosting a prayer and fasting day? And how about having a team, a prayer team, to pray specifically for unsaved loved ones and friends? This morning, remember that prayer is the primary resource of a healthy church. And when prayer becomes a priority in a church, the Lord demonstrates His supernatural power in and among them. He has done it for others, and He will do it for us. I truly hope that this church will be added to the examples of those churches that I mentioned earlier. Churches that the Lord did amazing things through because the people decided to come together to pray. But that is all up to you, and it's up to me. And how dedicated we are and will be to making corporate prayer around here a priority. The truth is, God hasn't changed. we're the ones that have to change. By doing things His way and recommitting ourselves to prayer. God has called His people to pray for each other and to pray about every circumstance and decision in their congregation. He has called us to pray for the lost and for the power, the ability, and the resources to make an eternal difference in the world. When we obey, when we submit to God through prayer, we have His word that He will come in power to build His church. Let us pray.